Hi, Judith.
Hi, Emily. How are you since I last saw you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, it's been a week since I last saw you, but
yeah,
we're getting lots of podcasts ready to go out during the 16 days of activism. So you're here again.
Yay, brilliant. Thank you.
But this time you're here to talk about your work with the Churchill Fellowship, aren't you?
I am, yes, really excited about this one because it's more of a personal mission, I guess.
So what are you doing with the Churchill Fellowship?
Okay, so I guess a little bit about the Churchill Fellowship first. It's a UK charity that supports individual United Kingdom citizens to follow their passion for change, which I absolutely have, through giving them the opportunity to travel the world and find out what organisations and people are doing in different parts of the world in relation to the project that you've chosen, and to bring that knowledge and information, I guess, back to this country. And then to, I guess, in the spirit and the legacy of Sir Winston Churchill, why this was set up, is to drive change in this country based on the knowledge and the information that you've gained, I guess, from across the country.
So what's your topic then? What have you chosen to focus on?
So I have chosen to look at how the coordinated community response, which is a model that started in Duluth in Minnesota back in the 90s by a wonderful Ellen Pence, and brought over to this country by Standing Together Against Domestic Abuse, who I currently work with. And I want to look at, see how that model can be adapted to work for rural domestic abuse. So I guess to improve the response to survivors and the opportunities for survivors in rural areas to seek and the help and support that they need, which I guess we're currently not great at across the country, because everything, and I've been involved in the domestic abuse sector for 20 odd years, and we're really not good at thinking rural and doing the best that we possibly can for rural. You know, nationally, strategically, and even locally, everybody looks to urban settings and, you know, how can we get services in there? What can we do? People are more visible in urban areas, but there's been a real dearth of government support, national support to rural domestic abuse. And I just feel really passionately that that needs to change.
So yay, flying the flag around rural domestic abuse. And just so everybody knows, I've not paid Judith to say all this. She has chosen this herself. But yes, I mean, anybody who's been on our training or listened to other podcasts knows that we feel very strongly that a lot of resources are focused on urban settings more than rural. And we do need to think about those who live rurally a little bit more. So you said it gives you the opportunity to travel. Where are you planning to go?
Well, I'm hoping to go to, no, I will go to America and also to Canada. And I will be linking up with people and organisations in Australia as well. And although I'm still in the very kind of early stages of planning, it is already just really interesting to find projects in rural areas that I guess could translate back over here. Because in all of those countries, I'm very aware that the isolation and the distances that we're talking about are significantly greater, I guess, than in this country. However, that doesn't diminish how isolated and unable to access services that people in our rural communities do feel. I guess it's almost either as bad or worse, because maybe people are looking at our rural communities and thinking, oh, you know, it's only sort of 15, 20 miles to the nearest town, or it's only 15, 20 miles to the nearest city, and there's a really good refuge there, or there's a really good service there. Whereas I guess in the other countries, it might be like 100 and 200 and whatever miles. But because to some, perhaps in decision making and commissioning positions, 25 miles may not seem a lot to them because they can jump in their cars and they will be able to access the services. But it's insurmountable, as you know, Emily, for so many women and with their children living in rural areas. So it just feels like there's so much we can learn from those countries where actually more resources have been channeled, and there are some interesting projects to go and look at. And it is just about coming back here and working with the likes of yourselves who are already doing amazing work, and thinking about how we can, I guess, better scale it up, getting a bit more of a platform for rural domestic abuse, because it just isn't spoken about nationally. No. And I've done so much kind of work nationally, but it just isn't spoken about.
No, it's not. And we spoke, when we met face to face a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the fact that we at the Willow Project would like to develop a network of rural domestic abuse practitioners. So, I mean, I've offered to come and carry your bags, haven't I, to go?
You have. and I would most welcome that. And we might have to find a way. I might have many, many bags. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not quite sure when I'm going to travel, but, you know, you're away for 3 to 4 weeks at a time. I've already had sort of panics about, how on earth am I going to wash my clothes? How am I going to, I just don't know how it works. I've only been away for a week. So I really don't know what I'm going to do about, I might just have to buy lots of clothes as I go around.
Absolutely. But yes, I mean, it does, it sounds amazing. I did a lot of research around what they're doing in Australia before the Willow Project was set up, and the way they deal with rural abuse, because like you say, there's hundreds and hundreds of miles between towns out there. Oh, I do hope you come back with something that we can all use. And, you know, it sounds so exciting. It really does.
It is exciting. I am, and I feel very kind of humbled to have got this, because it's not easy getting these fellowships. And I think they've really recognised that there is a gap there. And, you know, I live and have worked in Herefordshire and Shropshire for most of my life. So working with Women's Aid in Herefordshire and then across West Mercia region, and completely have seen for myself just how prevalent domestic abuse is in rural areas, how difficult it is for people who are experiencing domestic abuse to access services, how difficult it is to challenge those who are using abusive behaviour. As we know, patriarchy is live and well, very prominent in farming communities, in other kind of rural communities. And it's very difficult to kind of example, I guess, of farming. If you've got a sort of third, fourth generation farmer living in that farmhouse, they're not going to go anywhere. And it may be that if we work with those perpetrators where they're at and thinking about how we can challenge and change their behaviours, change their views, we may be able to make survivors much safer. There's just, and I know there's projects that are in America that particularly do that, because their perpetrators of abuse are not going anywhere. And, you know, it's about how as a community can we kind of change that. But I think one of the other exciting things, because this is rooted in the coordinated community response, we'll be looking at what other services are doing in those different countries. So how is policing different? Mm. How are the court systems different and working for rural domestic abuse? How are child protection services, our sort of children's social care, how do they work differently? How do they train their staff? And I think what I really want to look at is what's going on now, how are they managing, but also what are they doing in terms of education? Because as we've talked about before, we can do what we can right now, but we have to think generationally. And so what are we doing now in our primary schools, in our secondary schools, and what part do teachers play? What part do sort of young people play, actually? And there's some really good projects, again, in the US that I've found, and I'm sure in lots of other places too, where they're training mentors within schools. So whether it's kind of year six pupils who are looking after this kind of younger ones and being somebody they can speak to, or all the way through secondary school, having mentors and young people who can become that kind of trusted person for somebody, to a young child or young person to talk to. And how can we change that behaviour going forward? And that is particularly important in rural communities.
It is. Well, I'm hoping this might become a bit of a series so that we can have you back when you've been on one of your travels, catch up with you.
That would be amazing. Yeah. I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted of where I'm going to go. And of course, you might be carrying my bags at certain
Well,
times.
Obviously, there is that, you know, yeah. Podcasts are out in the field.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's me. I could take my fancy microphone. But yeah, I think definitely, because the thing about the Churchill Fellowship is it isn't academic. There will be lots of academics doing this, and I'm certainly not an academic. I'm rooted in practice, and that's just me. I want to see practice. It's almost like the so what are we doing about it. So we see a lot of academic reports and research that are really, really important to help us understand the why, and that is really important. We've got some great research on rural domestic abuse, so we understand the why, but for me it's the so what. So what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? And what works, and what could we roll out here that would work really well? I think that's what I want to kind of come back with, is that real so what. And I think that's what Rural Action Derbyshire, but also the Willow Project, what you've been really innovative about. And you definitely are way out there in this country in terms of the work that you're doing. Because I got really excited when I came up, because I just thought, actually, what I can do is come back and we can work together. Because if this fellowship can give the Willow Project a platform, if it can do more to sort of, like you say, roll out the work that you're already doing, which is just incredible, then, you know, let's do it. I think it's just really exciting. And if we can just use this opportunity to see what else is going on and adapt it and work on it here, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be the icing on the cake.
It would, most definitely.
Obviously, this is a podcast, so people can't see, but I'm sat here with a massive smile on my face about all those things that Judith said. And yes, just to remind, I've not paid Judith for this. These are her real views.
They absolutely are. And I was very buzzed and excited when I came away. And, obviously, I've met your team before and come to the screening of the Willow film. It's just incredible. So I think I have to say that a meeting one of the survivors there was really what kind of tipped me into, right, I want to get into this, I want to do more, I want to see what it is that I can do. And then I kind of went down the Churchill rabbit hole and decided to go for it. But it was definitely, I guess, my passion for the subject that has made it a successful application to do this. And I do think there's a lot that we can do, and I know that the Domestic Abuse Commissioner Nicole Jacobs is really supportive of what I'm doing and is really keen to get this message out across the country. More than anything, the UK and Ireland is a rural land, you know, we are more rural than we are urban, and yet rural just gets lost. But not anymore with you and me on board,
Absolutely.
Emily.
Absolutely, yes.
Girl power.
Oh. Well, thank you again for coming to speak to us. And we will be seeing you again.
Oh, 100%.
I should say hearing from you again. We will be hearing from you again.
Brilliant. Thank you. And I will most definitely come back.
Brill. Thank you so much, Judith.